So this morning I want to answer the question that probably come up on the screen now, why church membership? And let me begin by telling you about a visit I made a number of years ago to Newcastle upon Tyne in England. We were there on BB Camp just outside Newcastle, and as part of the camp we took the boys into the city centre and we went to St James's Park, the home of Newcastle United Football Club. We got the usual tour of the stadium that you can book in for, and the tour guide spoke to us about the history of the club and the details of the stadium and all of that sort of stuff. But the thing that amazed me most of all was the waiting list for season ticket holders. Not numbering in thousands, I can't remember exactly, but it numbered in tens of thousands of people waiting to become formal members, to join that club, and not just to support them from the outside, but to move inside and to watch the matches at home week by week. And as we think today, I know churches aren't football clubs. We don't just take money and admit people as members. We do have standards. We do have terms of entry. And even, of course, football clubs have that as well. If you misbehave, you can have your season ticket taken away from you. But as we think today about why church membership, and last week this was raised, and it's going to become an issue as we talk about membership classes, I thought we need to address this. And we need to consider what exactly we mean by church membership within the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Basically, when you read these standards, the code of our church, there are two types of member. I'll get to the Bible in a moment or two. There are two types of members. We talk, first of all, about adherence. An adherent is someone who attaches themselves, if you like, to the congregation, who comes to services, who is supportive of the church, who maybe even takes out envelopes and pays in regularly. They are listed by number in the annual report. They give the congregation their best wishes. They want it to go well and to flourish. They are valuable. They are useful. They are important. They get visited. They get married. They get buried. Pastoral support is provided for them. They're adherent members of our congregation. And we in Drumrea are very glad to have so many adherent members. But then there's communicant membership. And communicant membership is full membership. And I want today to speak about how you become a communicant member. A communicant member is someone who believes that God has done a work of conversion in their hearts. They haven't just heard about Jesus Christ dying for their sins on the cross. They have believed that Jesus Christ died for their sins on the cross, that they were the cause of his death on the cross. And they have repented of their sins, and they have received Christ into their hearts. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And they have taken God at his word, and they have attended communion classes or membership classes run by the minister, and they have become full church members after that, entered on the communion roll of our congregation. And the benefits, let me just list the benefits of communicant membership in the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Well, if you are a communicant member of our congregation and you've also paid into the free will offering in the last year, you get to vote. You get to vote like on committee membership. We talked about that last week. You get to vote if there's an elders election. You get to vote if there's some sort of a congregational meeting regarding the buildings. You get to vote on a new minister. Whenever that time comes, you get to have your say through a voting paper. But best of all, you get to sit at the Lord's table with a sense of joy and of privilege and of thankfulness that you now are a full member of the Church of Jesus Christ. You're fully in communion with him, and what a joy it is to say that you belong to the family of God. So let me return to my opening question, why church membership? And I want to give you five reasons, just to fill this all out a little bit more, five reasons why you should be a full member of Drumrea Presbyterian Church if you know the Lord and if you have repented of your sins and you have been converted by the Lord. First of all, it gives you a sense of belonging. A sense of belonging, because we live in a rootless world. If you know the song America by Simon and Garfunkel, a song about a rootless young couple traveling across America on the bus. They don't seem to belong anywhere, and they just seem to be traveling on and on and on. And in that song, there is a line that goes like this: "Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why." And that sense of just traveling through life, and here I am, and I'm moving on to the next place. I don't know who I am. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I've come from. That's our age. But when God has done a work in your life, you'll want to belong to a group and put down roots in a congregation of other people who have had a similar experience of God, and you'll sense this sense of belonging. The Greek word ecclesia, from which we get ecclesiastical, it means called out. You've been called out from sin. You've been called out from darkness. You've been called out from the world. You've been called out to be together as a family, to belong. Exodus 19, to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, God's treasured possession. A sense of belonging to the household and the family of God. But secondly, why church membership? Because of a sense of learning. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, just because you've been saved doesn't mean that you know everything. And woe betide us if we think that we have become, because we've been saved, we now know everything. We don't know everything. But when God has done a work in my life and I have been converted to the Lord, like the disciples in Mark chapter 3, Jesus ordained 12 that they should be with him. The sense is of becoming a pupil in a school. We learn together. We listen to the teacher. And then in the class, I need you and you need me. I need the rough edges knocked off my life. You need the rough edges knocked off your life. The gaps in my knowledge, you can help fill in. The gaps in your knowledge, I can help fill in. I can care for you, and you can care for me. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. But as we began the service by reading from Romans 12, we are all members, parts of the body. Someone has put it like this: write out your name 10 times on a list on a sheet of paper. Just write your name 10 times, relatively easy to do. But cut off your thumb and then try to write your name 10 times on a piece of paper, and it's going to be an awful lot harder. And sometimes, just as the human body needs every member, and not every person is going to end up in formal leadership either, but every person counts and every person has their role to play and every person is significant. I know the ladies dealt with this in their team talk the other Saturday morning, but we are to build one another up, admonish one another, bear one another's burdens, forgive one another, comfort one another, reprove one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, confess our sins to one another. In other words, we are responsible for one another. We learn together, communally, cooperatively, a sense of being a learner. Think of pebbles on a beach. When you go down to the seaside, and if it's a pebbly beach, they're all rounded, because they're all rubbing together against each other. And sometimes we rub against people and it annoys us and we feel like running away. But God has put us into those situations that we would be able to rub along together and become rounded as Christians and more mature. So a sense of being a learner, you're in the class together, listening to the words of the teacher. Thirdly, why church membership? A sense of committing. A sense of committing or being committed. What do we mean by that? Well, we live in a day and age when being committed to anything is a bad word. It's so bad we even have a new word for people who are not committed. We call them flaky. They have little or no resilience. They have no staying power. They have no dependability about them. They might do it, but then again, they might not. They might go to church if the weather's okay, if they feel like it, if they've no better offer, if they're bothered to get out of bed. But it's through, and if you forget what I'm going to say this morning, remember this, it's through committing that we become committed. It's through committing that we become committed. Psalm 1, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season. In all that he does, he prospers. Someone has put it like this. When you become a Christian, you become a member of God's army. Imagine you go to the recruiting officer to join the army and they say, oh, wonderful, sign here. But you say, hold on a minute, before I sign, I have one stipulation. I don't want to be committed to any one platoon. I want to be able to float around. And if the battle gets too hot in one area, I want to move to another platoon in a quieter area. And if I dislike my platoon's leadership, I want to move to another platoon where I like the commanding officer a lot more. Now, would you want to be fighting beside someone like that in the army? And yet how many people float on from one church to another with little or no commitment to one particular group of Christians so that when the battle gets going, they go AWOL, absent without leave. And the person who uses this illustration, they go on to say, the difference between just attending church and becoming a member is like the difference between getting married and living together. The difference is commitment. There's more to it than that. But the difference is commitment. Being committed to one another, where you take public vows and you say, we're together till death do us part. And the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, sharing a life together. By this, said Jesus, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. And you can't love one another in absentia. So be committed. Be connected, be concerned for one another. A fourth reason for why church membership has this sense of pulling together is, fourth reason for being committed is the sense of pulling together. And I'm using lots of illustrations this morning, but think about a tug of war team. A tug of war team isn't successful because every member does their own thing. One wants to pull to the left, one wants to pull to the right, one wants to walk forward, one wants to walk back. I mean, they're not going to win anything. They're successful because they have a common purpose, holding the rope and pulling the rope in the same direction altogether. And they do that for all they are worth. It's a team sport. And pulling together is the key to their success. When you become a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, you join the team. No longer is it about what you can get out of it, but it's what you can put into it. How you can serve the others, encourage the others, pray for the others, financially give to the others, strengthen the others. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You see, you can't come to Christ. And let me again emphasize, if you're going to forget everything else I say today, this is something else to remember. You can't come to Christ without coming to the people of Christ. You just can't. Remember when Jesus spoke to Saul on the Damascus Road, Saul was persecuting Christians, but Jesus said to him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The Christians are the body of Christ. You can't come to Christ and not come to the body of Christ or be committed to the body of Christ. That's why Paul says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, there's no male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. United to Christ, united to the people of Christ. You can't say, oh, I'm saved, but I don't belong to any church. Oh, I couldn't be bothered with that crowd up the road. That just doesn't work. If you're committed to Christ, you're committed to the body of Christ. Imagine if you said to your wife, I like your head, but I don't want your body. Or to your husband, I better do it the other way around. I like your head, but I don't like your body. And yet Christians who say they're committed to Christ, but they want nothing to do with the body, that's what they're doing. In Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. A sense of pulling together, being part of something bigger than just me, myself, I. My last answer to the question why church membership is a sense of destiny, and what I mean by that. Well, the Church of Jesus Christ on earth, sometimes it goes up and sometimes it goes down. Certainly here in the West, we see our numbers dwindling numerically, and in terms of influence, we see our influence going down as well. But actually, we're not going down, we're going up. You know what it's like when you're invited to a wedding? The invitation comes through the door and you have to say whether you're going to go or not. And if you say you are going to go, then you go to the happy day with the couple, you share in the occasion of seeing them join together and becoming husband and wife. Well, that's what the Church of Christ is on earth. There's the visible church, the people who come on a Sunday morning. That's the visible church, so everybody who comes through the door. But the invisible church are the people who have accepted the invitation of the bridegroom to join him in glory. That's their destiny. And their destiny one day is to be there, says Revelation chapter 19. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They have responded. Because many are called, but few are chosen. There's the visible church and there's the invisible church. And if you've never responded to that gracious invitation, respond today. As we've just been singing, if you're broken, come for healing. If you need forgiving, come for forgiveness. Say with the hymn writer, I am coming, Lord, coming now to thee. Wash me in the precious blood that flowed on Calvary. And your destiny will be heaven and home with Christ. On Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God, the joyful assembly of the church of the firstborn, says the end of the book of Hebrews. The joyful assembly. When God brings together his people from every continent, every country, and he joins them together in one big final family. What a day that will be! What a glorious day. And that's why in our Ephesians reading we heard, in him you too are being built together. Rejoice to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So let me end by saying next Sunday afternoon at 3 p.m., we're going to have the first of a series of membership classes or communion classes running up to the May communion. And if you have a testimony to a work of God's salvation in your life, and if you want to sit at the Lord's table as a full member of Christ's church, then join me in the fellowship room, just through those blinds. As a statement that you want to belong, you want to affirm that you're a learner, you want to be committed, you want to pull together with a team, and you have that sense in your life, a sense of destiny. Each class will be about an hour. You may be a member of other organizations, a member of other clubs, but there's nothing greater to belong to than the Church of Jesus Christ. I urge you to come along and to become a church member, and we look forward to seeing you there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the ways in which we understand membership within our Presbyterian church, adherent membership, but the much more significant communicant membership, where we testify to a work of grace in our hearts. And Father, we thank you that when that happens in our lives, we get to join the body of Christ. We get to serve, we get to pray, we get to love, we get to help, we get to encourage, we get to reprove, we get to confess our sins to one another, we get to have a sense of belonging, a sense of being part of a family, a place of love, of acceptance, a place where good things happen. And sometimes we know frustrating things happen, but nevertheless, overall, we are heading for heaven and for home. Father, what a gift of your grace. And we pray, our Father, as we think about these things and perhaps dwell upon them in the week that lies ahead, that you will encourage us, Lord, to come along next week. And those of us, Lord, who are communicant members in truth, help us, Lord, to rejoice and to keep asking what we can do to bless the people around us, to be of a service to them. And Father, we pray, whether it's in church or out in the community, whether it's at home or in the office, on the farm or in the factory, help us, we pray, our Father, to serve you, to live out our lives of faith, so that, Lord, the glory of Jesus Christ is spread as the waters cover the sea. And we ask and we pray these things in his name. Amen.